Repay to Caesar what is Caesar's. I sometimes wish this gospel passage was in April, as it might make it a little easier to write those checks to the IRS, to pay the taxes which support our country, our way of life, and our freedoms. I have had the opportunity to travel to many different countries and to see the social and economic conditions which many people live under. While far from perfect, here in the United States, God has blessed all of us with a truly wonderful and prosperous country with remarkable freedoms. However, with these freedoms come responsibilities. But let's look first at the other words of Jesus. Give to God what is God's. So what is God's? The Psalms tell us the Lord's is the earth and its fullness, the world and all its peoples. In other words, everything is God's because He is the Creator and He gave us everything we have. But we can expound on that just a bit. God gave us the absolute truth that He exists, that we are made in His image and likeness. He also gave us the Ten Commandments and His statutes. So, as we give to God what is God's, let us give Him, at a very minimum, acknowledgement that He is our Creator and obedience to His commandments and statutes. Our founding fathers realized this and declared that we are, quote, one nation under God. In fact, every monetary coin or bill produced in this country has on it, "In God we trust." Why do I bring this up? I do because God is under attack in our nation. Religious freedom is under attack. Even the words, "one nation under God," are under attack. This country is at a very important juncture. An election in 2 weeks will determine which political party leads our country. We have two parties vying for control of our government, a liberal party and a conservative party. One party is deemed liberal because it leans toward a progressive or socialist agenda and appears to support, by its words and actions, what is termed moral relativism. Moral relativism is the belief that there is no absolute truth, but that truth is determined by the individual, that the individual has a right and a freedom to determine what is good or evil. If that sounds familiar, it's because that's what Adam and Eve thought and did. As an example, this party actively supports abortion until the moment of birth. The other party, deemed conservative, leans toward a capitalist or free market agenda, is against abortion, and supports religious freedom. This party, for the last 3.5 years, has been identified as the most pro-life party in American history. It supports the Hyde Amendment and the Mexico City Act, which prohibits U.S. dollars from being used to fund abortions in other countries. It recently signed a Born Alive executive order guaranteeing life-saving medical care to infants who survive an abortion. It is a disgrace that a civilized country like ours requires an executive order to protect an abortion survivor. But let's thank God that we have one. The Catholic Church defines abortion as an intrinsic evil because it kills human life, the most vulnerable of human lives. So please, do not be led astray by a few misguided Catholic clergy who have attempted to downplay this evil and say that we as Catholics can use our conscience to determine if we support an abortion platform. That sounds just like moral relativism to me. In the letter to the Hebrews, we are warned. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. Yes, Jesus Christ is the same. Human life is the same. And the fifth commandment, "Thou shalt not kill," is the same. Abortion is an evil, and no other issue rises to the level of killing innocent, unborn babies, period. And if this were the only issue, it would be enough, but sadly, it is not. Several caucuses of the Liberal Party deemed it appropriate to discontinue the use of the phrase "under God" when reciting the Pledge of Allegiance at their recent national convention. This party, at least complicitly, also support the tearing down of historical monuments and appear to have a difficult time condemning the rioting and violence gripping our country, instead referring to it all as the freedom of peaceful protest. I was a federal law enforcement agent officer for 16 years, and I am disgusted when I see law enforcement overstep their authority and disregard their oath to protect and serve. But I also cringe when I see all law enforcement demonized, condemned, and attacked. It rips me apart to see our nation burning and our flag disgraced under the guise of freedom. The Conservative Party adheres to the belief that we are still one nation under God. They honor the flag and what it stands for. They have condemned the riots and the senseless destruction of historical monuments, and they adamantly support proper law enforcement. The Liberal Party continues to have a very strong and outspoken support of the LGBTQ and gender ideology movement. Think about this for just a moment. If the election 4 years ago had turned out differently, I am very confident that today, if a young man in public school decided he was more comfortable using the ladies' restroom and shower, he would be allowed to do so. I was an Air Force pilot, and I flew combat missions over Iraq for the freedom and ideals of this country. But let me assure you, neither me nor anyone I flew with or even knew flew those combat missions for the freedom of Johnny to use the ladies' restroom. The Liberal Party also supports ideas very closely related to socialism. The practical application of socialism is that of placing complete trust in the government instead of trusting in God. Attacks on religious freedom are among the primary and most recurrent violations seen in socialist societies. Socialism represses religious freedom because God is in competition with the government. It has been tried many times and failed many times, most recently in Venezuela. And its economic impact is always horrific. I believe Margaret Thatcher said it best when she said, "The problem with socialism is that sooner or later you run out of other people's money." And please, let's not be misled. This election is about policies, not people. In our first reading, God chose King Cyrus, a pagan and non-believer, to return the exiled Jews to Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple, and once again make them an independent nation, his chosen people. I am confident that the Jews would have liked someone other than a non-believer to restore their nation. And we may like or dislike the person who leads a political party, but we need to look beyond the person and instead look at the policies. We need to support the party which believes in and strives to protect that which is of God, that defends our most vulnerable, the unborn, whose policies keep the ideology that we are still one nation under God, that believes that Catholic moral values outweigh the demands of a secular society, a party that attempts to give to God what is God's. My brothers and sisters, again, we are at an important juncture. Our Christian faith is under attack. Everything we do, we must do with love. But this is not the time to turn the other cheek, to allow our faith and morals to be dismissed as old and out of touch with a changing world. It is a time to stand up for our values, to fight for the unborn who cannot fight for themselves, and to do our best to repair the torn and tattered moral fabric of this country. In short, it is time for us to be men and women of God, to be Christians in more than just name. Amen. For nations, that God may raise up leaders like Cyrus, grasping their right hand, giving them light and power to make decisions for life, justice, morality, and peace. Let us pray to the Lord. That we may live justly, giving Caesar what is Caesar's, but that we may remember that there is no other God than the Father of Jesus, and give him the glory of lives in which he is truly the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. For our school children, that their teachers may be truthful models of God's integrity, who have their best interest at heart. Let us pray to the Lord. For the sick, the elderly, the unborn, the handicapped, and all who give us the chance to be compassionate because of their weakness, that we may not lose hearts that are sensitive and respectful of all life. Let us pray to the Lord. And for our faithful departed, who labored in love and showed endurance in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they may now be rejoicing with him in the glory of heaven, especially Eloise Swallow and Judy Miller. Let us pray to the Lord. And for those intentions we hold in the silence of our hearts. Let us pray to the Lord.